Good morning to each of you. It's good to be with you this morning and just worshiping together. It's good to be able to do that as a church. And just was really blessed by the service as far, and just thinking how it ties in with what I'm going to share. And I was thinking about what to prepare for this morning, and wasn't quite sure what I should talk about. And as was mentioned, there were some things happening in our country that probably a lot of us were paying attention to. Just thinking about the election that took place, and I was reminded, and I'm sure you were reminded as well, just leading up to that and even afterward, that there's a lot of people that are worried about what's going to happen. And I've heard comments, and I'm sure you heard comments as well, about, you know, what if, and if this certain person gets elected, well then, you know, this is going to happen. And a little bit of anticipation. And the amazing thing is this happened on both sides. You know, it wasn't just one side saying this. A lot of people are concerned. And the message that I gathered is that, you know, it's pretty clear that a lot of people are going to feel better about life if a certain person gets elected. And it just depends who you are, who that person might be. And if I'm honest, I had some feelings like that as well. And I was just thinking about this and wondering, you know, is that okay to have those feelings? Is it okay to be relieved or disturbed at the outcome of an election? You know, I say I believe in God's sovereignty, and I hope that's okay. But as I was considering this, there was a bigger question that came to my mind, and the question is, where do I find security? We all want security. We want that feeling of knowing that we're safe. And for some people, a certain political party might be the answer to that, or part of that. Or maybe, you know, we think of investment and how much money in the bank, how much assets do we have to secure ourselves, security. There's many different ways to think about it. But the title of the message this morning is, where is your security? And what are we looking to for security? And my main point, if you want to boil it down, my main point is that our security as Christians is rooted in the presence of Jesus. And this doesn't mean that nothing bad will happen, but rather it points to a deep-seated peace in who we belong to. And that's really the thoughts that were going through in my mind, what it all came down to in the end. Really, it's the presence of Jesus that gives us true security. I was thinking about passages. Where do you go to consider this security? And there were many passages that came to my mind, and I'm sure there are some in your mind right now, of God as a refuge, as a rock, and as a lot of different passages that we can look to. And just thinking about that, the question is, can we truly believe that when it doesn't feel like it? When life is falling apart. And recently I've been working with a Ukrainian coming over from Ukraine, and I just had to think about life in Ukraine. The last several years with the war, and you know, things fell apart for them in many ways. Things can change very quickly, and you know, we're fortunate in many ways to live the life that we do, but many examples in history tell us that things can change very fast. And if we think about all that could happen, we start to get worried and think about ways that we can prepare ourselves and insulate ourselves from that. We try to secure ourselves, doing everything that we can to make sure nothing bad happens. We have a plan in place. Is that the right outlook? Is that true security? Is there really a way to completely secure our lives from anything bad ever happening? As we think about security, I would like for each of us to consider where we find our security. And I'd like to begin with a picture, a story, really. And it comes from Mark chapter 4. I'll be reading the story of where Jesus calmed the storm. And I'll read verses 36 to 41, Mark chapter 4. Just to get this picture in our minds, as we begin to look at this idea of security. So Mark 4, 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So just as an introductory setting, I'd like to consider this story. Imagine the setting. Jesus and his disciples got on a boat. They were out in the middle of the lake, and a storm comes along. And I don't go boating very much, but I know that a storm is not a good place to be on a boat. You want to get off the water, and it can be very dangerous. And we read about this storm that the waves were crashing into the boat, and the boat was filling up with water. And it's not good news when your boat is full of water. And amazingly, we see that Jesus was sleeping in the back part of the boat, sleeping on the pillow. And the disciples were terrified, and they come and wake up Jesus. Don't you care that we're dying? We are perishing. And you're just sleeping. Then we see Jesus stands up and says three simple words, peace, be still, and he calms the storm. And I think the amazing part is what he says next. He turns to the disciples and says, why were you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And I wonder, did the disciples have a good reason to be afraid? I would think yes. There were some very real problems that they had. They weren't out of line to feel insecure, and Jesus' words don't seem to add up, because we know we saw what the problem was. They were just about ready to sink. But there's one key thing here that we don't want to miss, and that is that the security of the disciples was connected to the fact that Jesus was with them. The presence of Jesus is what made the difference, whether they felt it or not. And we can identify with the disciples, and maybe we've been there before. Lord, we're going down. And I can just picture Jesus calmly reassuring, as he did for the disciples, don't worry, I'm with you. There's no need to fear. And if you want to do a study, a good study, I think all the times that God promises that he is with us, and they might be worded a little bit differently, but just to look through the Bible, there's many passages of the promise of God being with us. And this is one of those. And oftentimes it's tied to not being afraid. Fear not, I am with you. And I'd like to consider one of those references as we turn to the main passage I'd like to think about, and that is Psalm 23. And We probably all know this psalm very well, probably even have it memorized, very familiar to us. But I believe the message of this psalm is very important, and I believe it speaks to what we're talking about and as far as security. And I think we can all read this together. Let's read together Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So simple, but yet so profound. And I believe this psalm is worth considering. As we see the words that God is with us in this psalm, I'd like to consider the message of Psalm 23. And it's interesting to note, verses 1 to 3, David is talking to us. And he's telling us about his shepherd. Let me tell you about my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah. And he says, with the Lord as his shepherd, he doesn't lack anything. He has what he needs. I shall not want. He tells us about the green pastures and the still waters that this shepherd leads us to. And these green pastures and still waters provide restoration for the soul. And I just pondered that thought of restoring our soul. How often do our souls need restored? That's what the shepherd provides. So these green pastures and still waters, what are they? I would say it's the nourishment of God's word. The healthy food that we need, spiritual food. And the shepherd is providing for us, Jehovah, the Lord. And the sheep that are in his care know that the shepherd is taking care of them. They're well provided for. And I can't help but think, as I read through this psalm, can't help but think of John chapter 10, where Jesus compares himself to the good shepherd. He says, I'm the good shepherd. And he says, my sheep know my voice. And I think these passages are tied together. We can't hardly read this without thinking of Jesus. But there's a recognition, a trusting relationship. The sheep know the shepherd, and therefore they're going to follow. They know their shepherd has their best interest in mind. And they've experienced that restoration of soul that we need. So under this shepherd, I have what I need. I shall not want. And we know that doesn't mean getting whatever you want. I've started seeing some Christmas lists come out. My children are thinking ahead, putting down the wish list, and we can see that, and we maybe have some wish lists as well, things that we'd like to have. And I think we realize that I shall not want doesn't mean that our whole wish list is going to be checked off. But rather, it's the things that are needful. And I think of those things that restore the soul. And therefore, we're willing to follow. Talks about paths of righteousness. The right way is what the shepherd leads us in. And I believe this is a picture of true security. And it's not a security that the sheep can provide for themselves, but it's found rather in being in the presence of the shepherd. It's found as they follow in his path. And when we get to verse 4, this is where we see a change in person. Now, what I mean by that is a change in pronouns, in the person that he's addressing. I was helping my daughter write a book report for school, and one of the tips that I was giving her is that when you're writing, you stay consistent. And if you're using a certain verb tense, you know, you continue, stay consistent. And maybe it was having that on my mind that I noticed this change in person. So I mentioned that how David is first of all talking to us in verses 1-3, telling us about his shepherd. But in verse 4, it's different. And maybe I'm reading too much into this, I don't know. But I wonder, as he was thinking about those paths of righteousness, and he thought about where those paths led in his life. And we know the story of David and the many trials that he had. As he thought about that, he was moved to speak directly to God. And verses 4 and 5 are him addressing the shepherd. And he's remembering the valley of the shadow of death. And he says, "Lord, when we went through that valley, you were with me. And your rod and your staff, they comforted me. I could feel that touch. I knew you were there. And you even prepared a table right in the middle of my enemies." And I think it goes to show that following the shepherd does not mean an easy path all the time. There's valleys. This paths of righteousness sometimes will lead through the valley and the difficult times. But I think the key factor for security, and maybe you could even say survival, is the presence of the shepherd, and we see that brought out in verse 4, where he says, "I will not fear. I will fear no evil, because you are with me. If the Lord is with us, we have no reason to fear, despite what our surroundings might look like, our situation. Whether it's the stormy sea or the table in the midst of our enemies, regardless of who is president, the shepherd's presence is what really matters. And along with that is the relationship, the trust, and the following. And what's the result of following the shepherd through the valley? We see he talks about an overflowing cup. My cup runs over. And there's goodness and mercy that's going to follow. It's not a pursuit. We don't have to chase after that and take hold of it. It says it's going to follow us. And our dwelling place will be in the house of the Lord. So it's the blessings of following the shepherd and staying in his presence. And there's more that could be said about that. There's other passages as well. There's so many passages that are very similar to this. God's presence. And just this morning, we sat in our bench and I saw that my son had a children's book from the library, and I just happened to notice the title, and it said, "God with Us." And it was a Christmas book, and just thinking about the angel giving the name of Jesus, he said, "You shall call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And just to think about Jesus as a shepherd, as God with us, it's so many things that we could think about. But I'd like to think a little bit about application. As we think about today, for us today, our security, where we find our security, how do we apply these passages? Sometimes they can just seem a little bit simplistic. Just trust Jesus. But I'll think about this a little bit. How do we make it fit for us, where we're at? And I think, first of all, I do want to make clear that this is not to say that we should live a careless life and no preparation. I think sometimes that we can look at an ideal. We can look at this beautiful presence of Jesus providing security, and we can just take it the whole way to the extreme and say, well, I'll just forget everything else on the other side. I don't have to do anything. I don't think that's a good outlook either. I think there's common sense things that we can do. But the important thing to remember is that true security comes from Jesus. And it's a peace that we have of whose we are, who we belong to. We know the shepherd. And as soon as we get that switched, and as soon as we are trying to provide that for ourselves, I think we miss out on what true security is. It's a peace that comes as a result of knowing who you're with. And that's really the heart of the message, is just to find that security. We want that feeling of safety. Where do we look for that? Just as an example, I remember one time, not too long ago, I went to work in a customer's house, and it's interesting seeing, you know, what people have in their houses. And this particular house, I went in there and I realized that he was prepared for whatever might come. He had two guns draped around his headboard and a big round of ammo, and the hallway going back to the bedroom, he put in this custom door, and it was built like a fortress, and it was no door handle, it was a bolt lock from the bedroom side. And yeah, he was prepared for whatever might come. And I, woe to the person who tries to break into his house. He had security cameras up, and you know, the carpenter warned me, just be careful what you say here, the cameras have audio. And maybe we have seen people like that before, and just almost paranoid, I might say. He was worried, and he was trying to feel safe in the ways that he could, and he took matters into his own hands. But you know, I felt sorry for him, because I don't think those worries were out of his mind. Just in talking with him a little bit, I think there was still some doubts about, you know, is it enough? He was trying to find his security, and it was never quite enough. I think he was still worried. And there's another story that I thought of, thinking of locked doors. I remembered the story that I heard. I was trying to remember where I found it to get some details. I don't have any names or dates. But it was a story of a Mennonite family in early America, so frontier, you know, colonial times. And I don't know the area, but they settled. They had their home area there and built relationships with the Indians. They had good relationships, and they were considered friends. But as time went on, there were some other incidents that happened, people moving in, and just I'm not sure exactly what it was. The tensions were raised, and there was starting to be some hostility between the settlers and the Indians. And at one point, there was word out that there is an Indian band that is out for vengeance. Be careful. It is a bad time to let your doors unlocked. And this family, the husband and wife, were trying to decide, you know, what do we do? Because they'd always left the doors unlocked before. And she was just insistent that the doors had to be locked. So he finally agreed, you know, we'll lock the doors. They went to bed, and he just couldn't sleep. And finally, he got up, and he went and unlocked the door, and he was finally able to sleep. And sure enough, that Indian band came to their house, and they tried the door, and it was unlocked. They walked right in, and there was one member of the band that wanted to take retribution. And the leader said, no, I know this man, and You know, we came to his house. If the door would have been locked, you know, that would have been a sign that his loyalties are with, you know, the other settlers. But he left the door unlocked, so we'll leave them alone. And I just had to think of that story in comparison to this customer that I worked with. And where is true security? And it's not to say that it always happens like that. I could tell you another story about the Hostetler family. Maybe you've heard it before. I think it's in the book Coals of Fire, how they ended up dying because they refused to take the life of their enemy. But simply a reminder to see that what we see as security is not always reliable. We can go to such great lengths to secure ourselves, but things change so fast, and what we thought was safe might fall apart. So rather than spend so much effort in trying to secure ourselves, which usually you end up still having doubts and worries, is it really enough? Let's focus rather on finding our security in Jesus and having his presence with us. That's where true security is found. So I was thinking of this progression that I see. True security is linked to Jesus' presence. And Jesus' presence is linked to our following. And our following is linked to our trust. See, these are all tied together. Trust, following, and the presence of Jesus. If we aren't following those paths of righteousness, is his presence truly with us? If we look at the path and say, no, I'm not going down that path. I think about John 15, where Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. John 15 is that passage of abiding in Jesus, staying. Abide in me and I will abide in you. Are we able to follow, even though we might not understand, to follow even through the valley of the shadow of death? It requires our trust in the shepherd. Does Jesus know what is best for us? And I was trying to think about where our trust comes from. How do we build trust in Jesus? And I realized that it's right in the beginning of Psalm 23. It's the green pastures and the still waters. We see that he opens the psalm with this description. The shepherd provides. How do you build trust with someone? I think for any relationship we have, to build trust, it gradually builds as over time as a person is found faithful over and over again. And I think the same is true for God. As we find God faithful in providing the nourishment over and over again. And my question, as we consider security in Jesus, have you found him to be faithful over and over? We sing the song, "Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." And the one line that came to my mind is, how I've proved him over and over. Have you experienced the green pastures and the still waters and the restoration of your soul? We considered that question in Sunday school. Why do we come to church? And I think this is part of it, the green pastures and the still waters, and finding that God is faithful. And I think sometimes we need to turn to others as well, who have maybe been on the path longer than we have. If we have doubts and maybe we're wondering about the path that we have, ask somebody else. How has God been faithful for you? We need each other, and we need encouragement. And I think another avenue that we have is the privilege of just so many books that we can read with testimonies of people who can just proclaim that God was faithful for them. And I know we aren't all readers. Reading books can sometimes be hard work, but I think it's encouraging to find testimonies of people. I remember one time my mom just agonizing over the fact that, you know, there's so many books to read, but testimonies and powerful stories, but it seemed that her children just wanted to read, you know, the Hard Boys and the other fun books, you might say. And I can understand a little bit better now where she was coming from. Just the encouragement that we can find in testimonies. So I would like each one of us here to experience the faithfulness of God, so that when those times of testing come, we know that we're with the Good Shepherd and that He has provided. He's provided for others, He's provided for us in the past. Therefore, we don't need to fear, because we found our security in the presence of Jesus. So in conclusion, I would just like to invite each one of us to consider, where am I looking for security? Have you found that peace that comes as a result of knowing who we're with? The Good Shepherd, Jesus. It's something that we can't provide for ourselves. And it's not up to us to provide it, but it's found rather as we trust and follow and abide in Jesus. Let's pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us, and we thank You for Your word, the many promises that You give us in our word of being with us. And I pray that we could find You to be faithful over and over. Would You guide us, provide that security that we long for, the peace that passes all understanding? Would You guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus? I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.